When God gives you a second chance, a spiritual awakening, answer the question in your mind, should you step out by faith for Him, repent of it, confess it, get it right with God, start walking on the straight and narrow, or should you ignore it and revert to your old sinful patterns? Now that seems to me to be a no-brainer. If God gives us a second chance, we ought to take advantage of that second chance and step out by faith for Him. Now we're studying about Samson. Samson's life story is told in four chapters. The first chapter is Judges 13, where it talks about his conception, Samson's conception. Well, we found in that he had godly parents. He had the blessing of the Lord upon him. He had the Spirit of God upon his life, and he had a very good start, is how we concluded that message. Chapter 14 of Judges, it tells of Samson's carnality. Well, he fell. He intermarried with a heathen Philistine. He demanded his rights instead of enjoying his privileges. We saw how he disrespected his parents. He broke two of the three vows of his separation, and he went down, down, and kept going down. We'll see that pattern today again. That's his carnality. First his conception, then his carnality. In Judges chapter 15, if you'll remember it, I need to recap this because we've had a couple of weeks in between here. Judges 15 showed us the fruit of that carnality in Samson's conflicts. Conflicts, oh my soul. He had conflicts with his parents, conflicts with his wife, conflicts with his father-in-law, conflicts with the Pharisees of his day, and conflicts with the countrymen in Judah. His life was filled with conflicts because of his carnality. But at the close of chapter 15, he ended his conflict with God and had a spiritual renewal, a commitment to God, again, a fresh commitment. And we see Samson praying to God. I preached on each of these chapters in the month of April, and that brings us to the last chapter of Samson's shortened life. He had a new reprieve with the Lord at the end of chapter 15. He had a fresh start. Nothing he had done previously would kill him now. He was closer to God. He made a rededication and a new commitment to God that maybe somebody in here needs to make today. But sadly, he didn't hold it. He didn't hold it. He didn't do the things that he knew to do to stay close to God. He drifted again. He didn't value the Lord's fellowship. He didn't grow in his faith like a Christian should. He didn't appreciate the blessing of the Lord on his life when God was close to him. Don't ever say he couldn't stay close to God. Rather, he didn't. Samson didn't stay close to God. He wouldn't stay close to God. He refused to stay close to God. You'll stay close to God if you want to. Closeness to God is a choice that we make. Are you listening? It's a choice. God is willing. He is waiting for us to draw near to Him. And when we do, He promises that He'll draw near to us. So if we will make the effort to draw near to God, God will come close to us. Remember this, it's never an accident when someone falls away into sin. Never an accident. It's not because they are weak and others are strong. Falling away is a choice. It's a choice. Never forget that. And we are the product of our choices. What we will see in Judges 16 is that Samson, again, made some bad choices in his life. Sinful choices. Choices that he knew was against God. They were against God. But this time, they cost him his strength, his freedom, his eyes, his dignity, his leadership, and subsequently, his life. That doesn't have to be true in our lives. We ought to be able to look at the story of Samson and wise up. We ought to be able to learn from what happened in his life. It's a choice that you make to overcome temptation and to choose to obey God's word. It's your choice. Make that choice for God today as we consider Samson's conclusion, his conception, his carnality, his conflicts, and now his conclusion. We'll look first at his collapse in chapter 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. His collapse began with the strange woman. That's where it began. The turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, and I want to share something with you there. The cause of Samson's collapse was his seeing and going to the strange woman, the harlot, from Philistia. Did you know that the two purposes for the book of Proverbs that God gave them to us is to warn us against, number one, evil men. Watch out for the wrong crowd. And number two, strange women. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 12, follow along as I read, and it gives us the two purposes in verse 12, to deliver thee, and verse 16, to deliver thee. Are you following me now? Those two purposes, here they are. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaveth the paths of uprightness and walketh in the ways of darkness. Get away from that person that doesn't want to follow God and get around God's people. Get around God's word and determine to serve him. Verse 14, who rejoice to do evil, these evil men do, and delight in frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now the second purpose for the book of Proverbs is verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. So we've got wrong crowd that we can hang around, and there are strange women that we have to beware of, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. You and I are blessed to have the teaching of Proverbs on the strange woman. Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 9 and 23 have large portions to describe this sensual, alluring, strange woman. And it tells us about the strange woman that she allures with her lips, her beauty, by her attire, her dress, her eyelids, her kisses, her words of flattery, invitation, and the guarantee of secrecy. All of that is in the Bible. Did you know that? Wisdom. Beware of her. Sounds like, to me, Hollywood. Sounds like HBO. Soap operas. Sounds like late night TV and magazines and some websites. But her end, the Bible says, is bitterness. It's a dead end. It's a death. She won't be committed to anything. She's restless, unreliable, shifty. She won't settle down. She may be married, a married woman, deceiving her husband. She will drain you of dignity and bring you down to poverty. She won't encourage you to obey God whatsoever. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8, go there with me. The Bible finally warns men in Proverbs 5 and verse 8, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh the door of her house. That's how you'll be set free. That's how, and by the way, some have never gone to a harlot, but they've gone to the harlot in their mind. Or they've gone to the pornography in their eyes. Now listen, you can be set free from that by staying far away from it. By not coming nigh the door of the pornography, the magazine of the pornography. Stay away from that stuff. And literally stay away from her. In chapter 6 and verse 32, Proverbs 6 and verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. It's true that Samson didn't have these words to read because the Old Testament wasn't written yet. But he was taught right from wrong. Remember, he had a good beginning. He had godly parents. He knew that this was sin, and yet he did it anyway. A lot of times our problem is we know what we should do, but we don't do it. And we know what we shouldn't do, and that sometimes is the very thing that we do. Everyone reading this story, his story today, sees how foolish Samson was. He was a leader. He was handsome. He was strong. He had everything in his grasp. He had the blessing of the Lord on his life, but he threw it all away on a strange woman. I wonder if you're throwing your life away on a wrong relationship or on a habit. You're just throwing it away, just casting it to the wind. I want you to know that it could all be reversed in a moment of time by the power of Jesus Christ. He can help you and you can be victorious. God's blessings are not wasted on those who will not obey him. God can and will remove blessings as he did with Israel, as he certainly did here with Samson. God doesn't need us. It's us who need God. And so, Samson went to a harlot, his eyes and his heart burning with lust. And he came away with his heart and his eyes burnt out. You'll see that in a moment. We see Samson starting to collapse. He played with fire, and he got burnt. In verses 2 and 3, the Philistines surrounded Samson, but he escaped breaking through the doors and posts. Remember that when we reject God's ways and God's word and God's will, he overrules us and works out his will in spite of us and without us sometimes. So far, Samson thinks he's gotten away with being with a harlot. But you never get away with sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. But emboldened by his victory over the Philistines and no chastening yet, he continued his collapse with yet another strange woman. In Judges 16 and verse 4 now, Delilah. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Now we have a woman with a name. Sorek, well, that was located in the valley of Philistia. On your maps, we've looked at this. It's over by the coast and from Jerusalem over by the Mediterranean coast. When you keep hanging around the wrong people in the wrong neighborhood, you will become just like them. You have to lower yourself. You have to go down. And you are inviting temptation that you can't control. You think, well, I've got it all. No, you don't have it in control. You or anybody else. Delilah's name means devotee, which means she may have been a temple prostitute of one of the Philistine idols. I'm convinced that some people want to play with sin. I'm convinced that some want to tantalize themselves with the forbidden fruit. They walk right into it. They want that. I believe they're double-minded. I believe what they want is God and the God's kind of life, but they want their lust too, and they're double-minded, split on it. But this one wins. Down. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, please. Proverbs 4:14. Hang on every word now. Proverbs 4:14. Enter. This is what the Bible teaches. It says that you are a fool if you go this way with her. And it teaches us what to do about it. Six times it states it a different way, so that even the fool can pick up on it. Now watch this. Enter not into the path of the wicked. That's one time. and go not in the way of evil men. That's two times. Verse 15, avoid it, three times. Pass not by it, four times. Turn from it, five times. And pass away, six times. Six times. But Samson thought that he knew better. He dabbled in sin a little, and he thought, you know, this will hurt me. I'm the strongest man in the earth. I did all these other things. I can do it and get away with it. Judges 16:4 says that he loved a woman. And notice that it didn't say he loved his wife. This was not his wife. The truth is that he loved women. And he loved women more than he loved the Lord. That's the crux of his problem. Now enter the Philistine lords in verse 5. And look where they came from. This is amazing to me if you watch the story. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her. Now, wait a minute. They're down in the valley of Sorek. And the lords of the Philistines had to be down farther if they came up to her in the valley. Somewhere or other, there's a valley and then there's a lower valley. And they said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth. Because they never could beat him. He beat them every single time. Must have been frustrating to them. And so they sent their CIA over to get her to divulge the secret. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Wow. Look closely. Samson and Delilah in the valley. The Philistines, lords, they come up to her. They're in a lower valley. In verse 14, chapter 14, I should say. In chapter 14, we found Samson's wife had nagged him and finally whittled the answer to the wedding feast riddle, if you remember that. She whittled it out of him. And so we know from past experience, Samson has no willpower to withstand a continual annoying badgering. Well, I don't know how many men that do. And here we see it again with Delilah. The Philistine lords promised Delilah a small fortune, 1,100 pieces of silver from each of them, to find out why Samson's so strong. By the way, that's around $33,000, we believe, today. That's a lot of money. Delilah troubled him three times about his strength, but each time he told her a lie. He said, my strength will leave me if you bind me with seven moist green withes. Well, a withe is a limb from any type of hardwood tree that the limb is twisted like a rope is twisted. And she bound him with the seven green withes, and he broke them. And she nagged him again, and he told her, my strength would leave me if I am bound by brand new ropes. That'll do it. But she tried it again, and he easily broke them just as if they were a thread. She nagged him a third time, and he told her, if you weave seven locks of my head with the web, that then I will be weakened. And he was getting pretty close to revealing when he starts talking about his head and his hair, revealing a secret of his strength. But she did it while he was sleeping, and when she woke him up, he was as strong as before. Finally, she nagged him every day until it drove him crazy. And all of life changed for Samson in chapter 15 and verse 17. I'm sorry, 16, 17. That he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God. There's the separation vow that he had taken. From my mother's womb, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. the Nazarite vow would be completely broken if he cut his hair. You don't always have to reveal secrets to be an honest man. You don't have to tell everything. Let me ask you, when did Samson sin? When he told her all? I don't think so. When did he really collapse? On the fourth nagging? No. It was when he started running with the wrong crowd again. God had given him a reprieve, a second chance, and he didn't take advantage of it. He placed himself in a position to fall, to make wrong choices, and it was determined at that point what was going to happen. If you find yourself with the wrong people who will lead you into violating God's word, you know what you're supposed to do according to the Bible? Run. Flee. The Bible uses the word flee. Not like the flea that makes you itch or a dog itch, but means to run. Flee the wrong company. Flee fornication. David, for example, in the Old Testament, didn't flee from Bathsheba and he fell. Joseph, on the other hand, earlier did run when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. God is saying to us, the answer is to run. Get out of there. Get away from the wrong people. Get away from the wrong woman. Samson didn't run. He was warned three times before that, and he never saw the danger to run. We see first Samson's collapse. The rest of Samson's life goes very quickly now. Look secondly at Samson's capture. His capture. In this section, in verse 19 now, verse 19, we see Samson was napping. He's napping. It says, and she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. This is the perfect picture of what Samson had been doing spiritually. He's napping physically now, but he's been napping spiritually for quite a while. Are you? You're sitting here this morning, Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pennsylvania. I'm asking you, have you been napping spiritually? Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, please. This has been a problem for some of God's people in every generation, that they go to sleep spiritually. Oh, they're still alive. They still have jobs. They still have things that they do, habits probably that they've picked up, things and places they go that God, they couldn't take Jesus with them, doing things that they know are contrary to their training in the Bible. And Paul addressed this in the New Testament in Romans 13 and verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Jesus is coming is the import of this message. Jesus is going to return. Our final deliverance is approaching. We're not going to be on this earth forever. Are you following me? I mean, Jesus is coming and we're going to rise to go with him if we're believers. We aren't promised tomorrow in this life. If you're asleep, he's saying, in the light of all of this truth, it is high time that you awake right now. It is urgent that you awake. High time to awake out of sleep. The time is becoming dangerously short. God says, wake up this very moment. Get serious about serving me. He's giving you a second chance. Take advantage of it. Wake yourself up. Shake yourself up. Don't wait for another 911 emergency in your life to wake you up. You shouldn't have to wait till then. Samson was napping, and he wouldn't wake up. Secondly, Samson was naive. He was naive. Samson thought that he would always have that strength, be who he was, the strongest man. He'd had it for as long as he could remember. But look at verse 20. Boy, did he ever get a surprise when he woke up. Verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out, as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Wist not means he didn't realize it. You can linger in your napping state until some other situation wakens you and it's too late. You no longer have what you used to have. But you don't know it. He thought his strength was a matter of his own will. It's who I am. I'll always have that. He thought it was all about him. Life was all about him. I will go out and I will do what I've always done. But the Lord was no longer with him. The Lord was no longer speaking to him. The Lord was no longer saying, come along, son, wake up. Come on, I want to do something with your life. He wasn't doing that anymore. Brethren, you and I need the Lord more than we know. Samson was napping. Samson was naive. Something else. Samson was nabbed. Nabbed in verse 21. But the Philistines took him. Now the enemy did what they'd never been able to do. They took mighty Samson into custody. Boy, every other time they tried to do it, he would just shake it off and kill a whole bunch of them and get on another hill and laugh at them. And that wasn't all. We also see Samson was neutralized. In verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Now the Philistines had Samson, and they weren't going to let him go anymore. They wanted to eliminate any possibility of his escape. They not only arrested him, they ruined his life. They put out his life. The name Samson means sunny. What does the name Samson mean? Sunny means sunny. But now he would live in darkness the rest of his life and never see the sun again. This may have been good for Samson spiritually, if you think about it, because his trouble always seemed to start with seeing a woman, at least on three occasions that we know of. He would never have the lust of the eyes again. In fact, Jesus said, if thy eyes offend thee, pluck them out. Well, that's exactly what the Philistine lords did with his eyes. Happy days for Samson were over. They brought him further down from the valley to Gaza. They bound his arms and his feet with chains. He can't see anything. He doesn't have strength. He can't do anything about it. They made him do menial work. The grinding at the prison mill may have been work that only women did, in which case it was very humbling for the strongest man on the earth to do it. Or it may have been the type of mill work that only animals like oxen did, which would have been far more humbling. Whatever the case, they ruined his life. And Samson was now neutralized. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do with you. His plan is not to allure you so that you can have enjoyment and enjoy it forever. That's not his plan. His plan is to ruin your life. He wants to bind you all up in knots. He wants to take away your ability to see spiritual truths. He wants to make you his slave. That's what gambling's all about. You become a slave. That's what prostitution's all about. You become a slave. That's what drugs and alcohol and wine are all about. That's what pornography and affairs are all about. You get bound up. That's what sneaking around behind your parents' back and behind your authority's back. That's what that's all about. You get bound up by it. Satan wants you for his slave. That's all. That's what it's all about. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, I want you to see this scripture because God warned us about this. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, warned us about this. It's still there for us to read. The problem is we just don't spend enough time in the Bible to find out how God has warned us and taught us how to live. Here's what it says. The thief, talking about Satan, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, by contrast, Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And which one do some people choose? They choose to follow the thief instead of Christ. They choose, instead of having life and more abundantly, they choose to have their life stolen from them, killed, destroyed. What is wrong? Samson was napping. He was naive. He was nabbed. He was neutralized. Samson was captured. Dear believer in Christ, don't let Satan capture you. Walk as close to the Lord as you can. Find the will of God and do it. Obey all that you hear. Strive to learn more and more to obey. Turn your heart completely to the Lord. Submit yourself to his authority. Absorb yourself in the Bible and the local church. Don't let Satan capture you. We've seen Samson's conception, his carnality. We've seen his conflicts caused by the carnality. We've seen his collapse, his capture. And finally, we look at his comeback. Oh, I like to read about a comeback, don't you? I love a good comeback. I love a game where my team is behind, but they come back and they win the game. Ooh, I love those kind of stories. Judges chapter 16 and verse 22. Samson's comeback. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. His hair became full again. Now I've got to stop right here and give you a little teaching. Remember, God is not teaching men to have long hair today. In the New Testament, he says, 1 Corinthians 11:14, listen to it carefully. Doth not even nature itself teach you, if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. Women are to have the long hair, the men are to have the short hair. Men of God ought to keep their hair short. Some need to get to a barber and get that done. Now, in the Old Testament, we find Absalom, the rebel king, the son of David, who ousted his own father. He was against authority. He was killed by his long hair. We believe that Jesus had short hair, not long hair, as he's been pictured by some artist, because the Caesars in his time and others in authority had short hair in that day, and Jesus was not a rebel. And of course, he wouldn't go against the scriptures anyway. And Christ was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. That is, he was born and raised, he was raised in Nazareth. The only one allowed to have long hair was the Nazarite. And Samson is the only named Nazarite that we know of in the Bible. God is not teaching men to have long hair. In Samson's peculiar case, his hair was part of his vow, and his hair was the secret of his strength. And so in verse 22, it's very critical. His hair began to grow. That meant that he started feeling that supernatural strength that he had known before coming back into his body. It also means that he was turning his heart closer to the Lord. Popeye just found his spinach. Da 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 da. First we see his hair became full again. Then they honored their false god Dagon. The Philistines were having a celebration honoring their god Dagon for delivering Samson into their hand. They were praising their god, their idol. The main attraction was when they called the blind and bound Samson to come in front of the standing room only crowd of 3,000 men and women and all the lords of the Philistines to make fun, to poke fun. Ha ha, look at him, the strongest man, the one who had defeated us. Now we have him. He's blind. He's bound. They brought him in and made fun of him. And why shouldn't they rejoice? Samson's rap sheet read like this. killed a lion with his bare hand, killed 30 Philistines during a wedding feast, killed 1,000 men, broke the strongest bands, and broke off the gates and the post when they had him surrounded. They were elated. They couldn't believe they got him. He couldn't hurt them anymore. First we see his hair. Then we see starting to grow. Then we see the honoring. Next we see Samson's two helpers. The helpers fulfilled his request. First, there was the lad who came around him. And we read about it. They had assigned a boy to lead the blind has-been, which was Samson. Samson asked the boy in verse 26 to help him find the pillars of the great banquet hall and that seated the 3,000 people. He could tell that his strength, something was happening. I don't know, maybe he just got tingly all over, that his strength is coming back into his hands and his arms. We have the lad helping him. Then the Lord helped him. Remember, the secret of his strength is not his hair, but the Lord being with him. It's the same with you. Your strength is in the Lord. You and I need the Lord with us. Samson prayed, only the second recorded prayer that we have of Samson, in verse 28. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. His helpers fulfilled his request, the lad and the Lord. We have the hair, we have the honor, we have the helpers. Next we see Samson's hands. His hands as they flexed in verse 29. His hands flexed. Then Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up of one with his right hand and the other with his left. With all of his might and the blessing of the Lord upon him, Samson bowed his hands around those two pillars, one pillar for each eye that they had eliminated. We see his hair, it's full, it's growing. We see the honored false god. We see the helpers who helped him fulfill what he required, and that was the lad and the Lord. We see Samson's hands flexed. Next we see their house fell. In verse 30, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed him bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein, so that dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. He killed all 3,000 celebrating, and all the lords of the Philistines in that final act. It's too bad he had to die too, but he did. He could have continued to judge Israel after the great victory, but he had rolled the dice in his life one too many times. Finally, we see his house who fetched his body. In Judges chapter 16 and verse 31, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Notice they had to come down to get him because he had gone down, down, down. Also notice that no one prevented them from coming because the lords were all dead. Samson was finally brought back up, sad to say, after his death. He finally went back home. And we don't read of another reference to the Philistines in the entire book of Judges. That's it. Now I want to close with seven lessons very quickly that we learn from Samson. Number one, Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy lives. He wanted to do it with Samson. He wants to do it with you. He will do anything he can to ruin your life. He will make sin look enticing. He'll put it in your heart to mock sin and mock preaching. But all of his apples have worms, and he's a liar and the father of it. Number two, we must avoid the wrong crowd and the strange woman at all costs. We must flee fornication. Get away from her. Get away from them. It's a choice you make. Number three, those who are double-minded will face unnecessary tragedy and sorrow. The double-minded are unstable, the Bible says, in all their ways. Samson was double-minded, and it led to terrible tragedy in his mind, in his life. So in other words, here's this double mind. I want to serve God, but I want my sin too. Get off of that. Forsake that and serve him. Here's the blessing. Here's where your life will come into focus. You'll have purpose and meaning to life again over here with the Lord. Number four, falling into sin is a choice that we must not choose it. Obedience is a choice, and we must choose that, to obey God. Number five, God chastens those he loves. God met with Samson, but Samson kept disobeying. God had to chasten him. See, sin has terrible consequences even to the Christian. Something else, we reap what we sow. Certainly Samson did, and be certain of this, that you and I will reap what we sow. And finally, there is a way back to God. That's a wonderful truth. Don't wait another day, and don't wait until everything falls apart. Come back to God today. Well, Pastor, I have to put a lot of things in order. No, let God put them in order. You just come back to God. He'll help you with the rest. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now musicians are coming.